good thing to follow along in the text. And we are in Joshua chapter 18 this morning. Yeah, we've been, it's been a journey through the book of Joshua, and I'm certainly enjoying it. There's so many pictures in the Old Testament that are so helpful to us, and instruction as well. So I'll pray, and then we'll get into our text. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word. It is your counsel to us. It is the truth. It is it's foundational to our lives. As we have it open this morning and we go through this portion of Scripture, Lord, help us to understand. And we pray your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts, our minds, and help us to understand what your word is saying, and then also what we should do with that. Lord, direct us into how you would have us live and be your ambassadors here where you've put us. And so we pray for the children too, Lord, that their faith would grow as they learn more and more about you and your love and your grace and your truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Joshua 18, and it is a thing as we get farther into a book, the introduction gets more difficult because it could almost take the whole time if we review everything. So just quickly, the Israelites, they're in the promised land, the land of Canaan. So the land of promise, which we know a whole generation died in the wilderness because they did not have faith. Unbelief. And Joshua and Caleb, of course, of the spies, they had faith, and they did enter the land, but a generation died in the wilderness over 40 years or 38 years-ish, say. And then they entered the land, and they did so through faith and obedience, and miracles happen. And at this, and some hard things. They learned some lessons along the way. And as we've journeyed through the book of Joshua, we've seen various lessons that they've learned. Like, when God says in Jericho, don't take any of the spoils, they belong to me. And someone disobeys that, that was a problem. And that got sorted out. We see grace in the book of Joshua, mercy. Remember the story of Rahab? She had faith. She and her family were saved, delivered. The Gibeonites, they also ultimately, they found grace. They lived. Good to remember that as we look at all the battles in the book of Joshua, and it's graphic. Remember that this is a land given to the nation of Israel. So it was promised to them back to Abraham. But it was also very much a judgment on the nations, the Canaanites. God's, you could say his patience had run out. They had some 400 years or more to repent and stop their wickedness, and they were very wicked, and they did not. So this was also very much a judgment on them. At this point, chapter 18, we don't know exactly, but they're, let's say, 7 years, maybe 8 years into being in the promised land. So it wasn't like they just walked in there and all their enemies said, oh, there's the Israelites, let's leave. No, they've been battling for years at this point. And now in chapter 18, 19, we saw some of it last week as well. The power centers have been defeated. So it's like the land is theirs. However, there's still many pockets of resistance, let's say. So as the land is divvied up amongst the people, amongst the tribes, now is the time that they are to receive their lot or their portion. It's got very clear boundaries, and they are to possess that land. So they are to live in it. A couple weeks ago, we saw Caleb, and last week a little bit too, and there's a guy, 85 years old, and he's like, goes to Joshua and says, remember what was promised? He's like, give me this land, the land with the giants. I'm going to take it and possess it. And I just love that story of Caleb, 85. It's incredible. Obviously, he's blessed with some health to be able to go and fight, and not just kind of fight, but fight. And he wasn't willing to just kind of go, you know, I'm too old to claim the promise that was given to me. And that's a lesson from recently in the book of Joshua is, we are never think that you're too young, too old, too weak, too whatever, to live in the promises of God, the abundance of God. Do not settle for the wilderness. Do not settle for... it's kind of like, don't settle for just claiming a piece of the inheritance that God has given us. It's there. Receive the whole thing. But it does take living in the land, so to speak, even as we think of ourselves. It's like walking in the promises of God. Walking in obedience. So let's just get into our text. And I'm not going to read every verse through all of the boundary lines necessarily, or all the names of different people, but we'll look at sections in Joshua 18 and 19. So 18, verse 1. Now the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of meeting there. So the tabernacle. Where the ark was of the covenant. And the land was subdued before them. So just a point of interest, up until this point, they have had Gilgal, which is, they came across the Jordan and camped at Gilgal. That was before Jericho. And that had kind of been their base all this time. And now we see that is moved from kind of over by the Jordan to Shiloh, which is, I think the main point with it is it's central within the land. And we're not given much detail, but this would have been done under the Lord's direction. They didn't just move that around without his instruction. There was consequences for that. So, but the point is, this is now, the land's subdued, as it's put, and they move the tabernacle to a central place in the land. So it's subdued, the land, but there's still enemies throughout. We saw last week that it was Ephraim, right? They received their portion, their lot, and then they kind of came to Joshua and said, yeah, we need more room. There's lots of us. God's blessed us. We need more room. And so they weren't happy with their lot, what they were given. And what we found out and what Joshua knew was it wasn't so much there wasn't room, but there was enemies with chariots. It was good. It was a good piece of land. Area, and they wanted something a little easier, and Joshua in the end, you kind of went, yeah, okay. You have the mountainous area that's timbered. And they're like, well, that's difficult. And in the end, he said, you know, you're great people. You'll manage. You'll do fine. There you go. And get to it, kind of thing. Like I said, I'm paraphrasing. But we've seen there's these territories. It's given to them. The Lord's saying, it's yours. But in claiming it, they would have to go in and actually own it. And there were those there who were saying, no, not going to happen. And God expected them to go in and go to battle and claim the land. Now, not all the tribes have their assigned territory yet. So verse 2, but there remained among the children of Israel 7 tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. Then Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? So, 7 tribes didn't have territory. The Levites, we know, they didn't get land. They were spread throughout, and they served the Lord. But there's 7 tribes, and we see the reason why they don't have their inheritance. And it is their inheritance. And that's for us. We're not the Israelites. We're not in Canaan. But we have an inheritance from the Lord. And that's the parallel for us. And what we can think about is, what is the inheritance that God has given me, or you and I? And am I living in that inheritance? So Joshua says to them, what's going on? How long will you neglect? So we see he very clearly is putting it on them. It's on you. The land's there. Others have their inheritance. What's going on? They were dragging their feet. The question is why? They knew they were supposed to have the land. They've been waiting for this for as long as any of them can remember. They knew all the stories from the generation before. They've been along the way all along. They've seen the miracles. It's not spelled out for us, but I suspect that with having no defined territory, because when you look in the chapters and see how it's laid out, it's very clear boundaries. It's like it's mapped out, and it's like Ephraim, here's your land. Judah, here's your territory. Now go and live in it. Enemies, okay, that's fine. Sort it out. And so my thought is, with having no defined territory assigned to these tribes, there was also no assigned battle. There's no clear enemy. Perhaps kind of we'll just stick with the nomadic, we'll just kind of move around wherever seems best. Sort of drifting, if you will. So with the territory would come responsibility. They would have to invest and protect and put down roots and so on. And I certainly believe that this is still true for us today in the inheritance that the Lord's given us and his promises. It takes faith to live in them. They're awesome, but it still takes faith to live in them, and it can be very hard. And at times, I think it feels like we may lose some battles. But the Lord he's faithful. He doesn't mind us being in battles. We could pick, there's so many, but say fear, I know we're not to have a spirit of fear, right? We can know that. But it can be very hard to battle. And sometimes we may want to give up and go, maybe not say it, but just go, well, I'm a fearful person. I'll just learn to cope. God offers more than coping. But it can be hard. But very important to have that strong desire to live in the abundance that he's promised us. I think of Luke 6:46. Jesus is very blunt there. It's before he talks about the building on rock versus sand. And he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" It's kind of what's happening with the tribes that don't have their land. It's like, they know the command. They know the promise. And they're dragging their feet. And Joshua's going. And I suspect they had lots of excuses. But he's saying, time to stop neglecting this and get after it. And we're called to do the same. And it can be a challenge at times. But that means we'll have to trust God and persist. So out of this example, what came to mind is for us to be aware that when the command is clear, so when God's command is very clear, so then that requires seeking him, getting into his word, praying, listening. But when the command is clear and the opportunity to obey is in front of us, question is, what's stopping us? I know what it is with me. Usually the only thing stopping me is me. I might have a list of reasons, but generally those are linked to a lack of faith or willingness to obey or being complacent. So when the command is clear and the opportunity is there to obey, beware of neglect or becoming complacent. I think a great example is be like a Caleb, eager to obey. He waited so long to have the opportunity to claim that promise that the Lord had given him. And when the time came, he was just eager, and he didn't let life circumstances get in the way. He did everything he could. But I like with Caleb the eagerness. So being eager to obey as opposed to, this is going to be tough. I don't know. Later. Verse 4. Pick out from among you 3 men for each tribe, and I will send them. They shall rise and go through the land, survey it according to their inheritance, and come back to me, and they shall divide it into 7 parts. Judah shall remain in their territory on the south, and the house of Joseph shall remain in their territory on the north. You shall therefore survey the land in 7 parts, so in between those other tribes. And bring the survey here to me, that I may cast lots for you here before God. So this is their process that God directed. But the Levites have no part among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. And Gad, Reuben, and half the tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance beyond the Jordan, so on the east, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them, and we've been over that. So Joshua simply says, okay, go to the land that hasn't been claimed yet and survey it. Have a look through it. Divide it into the 7 parts, and then we'll go through the process of the Lord directing who goes where. And we talked about this last week. It is important to know that the Lord puts us in places. If we look at the land being divided, and like Ephraim was not happy with their, they were not happy with their lot, say their lot in life. And ultimately, the response they got back was, this is your lot. It's your responsibility to live there and receive your inheritance. There, God's not changing his mind. Verse 8, then the men arose to go away, and Joshua charged those who went to survey the land, saying, go walk through the land, survey it, and come back to me that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord in Shiloh. So the men went, passed through the land, and wrote the survey in a book in seven parts by cities, and they came to Joshua at the camp in Shiloh. Then Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord. And there Joshua divided the land to the children of Israel according to their divisions. So they're instructed to survey the land, walk through it, and return. And they actually went through and they actually surveyed it. They divided it up and wrote it down. I like that picture of surveying, because they're walking through, they're seeing what's there, they're assessing their inheritance. And I think there's a very clear application for us in that, have we surveyed the inheritance that the Lord has given us or has offered to us? Do we know what it is? Taking a survey of this, the Word of God, will allow us to see, enlighten us as to what our inheritance is. It's hard to know what's even on the table as far as God's gift to us. I mean, we know salvation. Jesus died on the cross for our sin. He rose to victory. He came to give us eternal life, abundant life also. What does that look like? We saw some of that as we went through the book of Ephesians, chapters 1 through 3. It really lays out the richness of the inheritance that God has given us. It's really important, I believe, to take a survey of what it is that the Lord has for us. And then seek to live in it, like live victoriously in it. Now, we see with Israel and Canaan, there are times and seasons. Like there was a point in time where they couldn't live in Canaan. They hadn't got there yet. They hadn't defeated enough enemies to survey the land, take the land, at least in that. I mean, they could survey, know the promise, but they didn't quite have the opportunity to actually put their feet down and dwell there. But as we're in chapter 18, this is the time. In fact, it's past time. They should have done it before. And so for us, there are times and seasons for certain things. We have to wait upon the Lord. But there are also specific promises and commands which are waiting there for our obedience. And a consistent survey of God's counsel will enlighten us to those things and the working of the Holy Spirit as we do that. So we do need to wait on the Lord. I'm not saying rush into things. Seek him. But we're prone to different things. Sometimes we try and get ahead of God. Other times, like the tribes mentioned in this chapter, we're a fair ways behind. And his word is, you know, stop neglecting obedience and get at it. So something for us to be careful with is that waiting doesn't become procrastination and then neglect. And I will admit, I have certainly fallen into that place at times. It's like, I don't know what to do. And then at times it's like, well, actually you do. You just don't want to do it. And it's the committing. So claiming our inheritance, going, yeah, I want to live in this that God says I can live in, this victory, this abundance. It means we commit. And if it gets hard, we carry on. We keep seeking him. And it's a clear picture with the Israelites in Canaan. God gave them the land. It was their inheritance, but in order to receive it, they had to commit to living in it. And there were challenges. And God was fine with that. He knew it would actually benefit them to have that. So wait on the Lord. Like, we need to have an instruction, but do remember this, that waiting on the Lord is not idle. Like, it's not busying ourselves with other things. Waiting on the Lord is very much being in the Word. We could say surveying it. It's being in prayer, talking to God, in particular about his word, his instruction, listening, asking to be filled with the Spirit. And we're looking at things that we're going, I can't do this. The good thing about that is we can't. So it's like, Lord, help me. Fill me with your Spirit. And also, even while waiting on the Lord, we're still required to do those things which are known to us. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do what I say or what I have made clear to you already? All right. So the rest of chapter 18 lays out the land given to the tribe of Benjamin. So I'm not going to read through all of that. Lots of fun names there. I'll let you read through later. Chapter 19, and let's look at verse 1. So they cast lots before the Lord, and it's just determined who gets what. And so Benjamin, then Simeon. The second lot came out for Simeon, for the tribe of the children of Simeon, according to their families, and their inheritance was within the inheritance of the children of Judah. So this is kind of interesting, because their portion is actually inside of Judah's portion. And so let's just address why. So Genesis 49... and verse 5, and this is Jacob's last words to his sons. Simeon and Levi are brothers. This is what he said to them. Instruments of cruelty are in their dwelling place. This isn't the most positive kind of blessing, if you will. Let not my soul enter their council. Let not my honor be united to their assembly. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they hamstrung an ox. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. So I won't get into the whole story, the account, but if you look up earlier in Genesis, these two committed they shed a lot of blood. And so this is in regards to that. And so I just bring it up because there's a question, well, why is Simeon's lot within Judah's? And really we look at it as a fulfillment of this prophecy. Both Simeon and Levi essentially ended up scattered through the land. Very different looking outcomes with Levi, the tribe of Levi ended up being as a priest, and Simeon just kind of absorbed. But the point is, they were scattered across the land like had been prophesied in the book of Genesis. So that's just kind of interesting note when we look at that verse and go, well, why are they within Judah's boundary? Well, that's why. Now from verse 2 on through really verse 48, we see the rest of the tribes receiving their land. And we've got boundaries and so on happening all through until we get to verse 49, when we get to Joshua himself. And so picking up in verse 49, chapter 19, when they had made an end of dividing the land as an inheritance according to their borders, the children of Israel gave an inheritance among them to Joshua, the son of Nun. So Joshua, the one who's been leading them, the one who replaced Moses as leader of Israel. And the one that the Lord said right at the outset, one, don't let this book of the law depart from my mouth, your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. And then after that said, be strong and courageous. And then shortly after said, be strong and courageous, be very strong and courageous. So it was quite the task that he had to lead the people. And we've seen he made some mistakes along the way, but for the most part, he just kept faithfully leading, seeking the Lord and leading the people. So really a man of God, and also very much a military man. There's a lot of battles. But what really defines him is that he was faithful to what God had called him to do. And at this point, he's an old man. It said that back a couple chapters ago. Thought is he's probably older than Caleb. So Caleb, 85 at this point-ish. Joshua easily have been in his 90s. We don't know. Not exactly in his prime. So it's been a long, hard journey for these guys, for the nation, really, for the people. Like, this wasn't easy. So, with Joshua, when they had made an end of dividing the land as an inheritance according to their borders, the children of Israel gave an inheritance among them to Joshua, the son of Nun. So they gave him an inheritance. He wasn't taking or demanding. Fifty, according to the word of the Lord, they gave him the city which he asked for. So he did ask. Timnath, Sarah, in the mountains of Ephraim, and he built the city and dwelt in it. So he was of the tribe of Ephraim, and he asked for a city, Notice it was a city in the mountains. Not all of their land was in the mountains, in the difficult territory. There was some of the land that they went, like the tribe, that came, the leaders that came to him were like, no, actually, we'd rather not. That's difficult. But Joshua was like, yeah, give me this place. I'll settle down there. They'll build a city. In 51, these were the inheritances which Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel divided as an inheritance by lot in Shiloh before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So they made an end of dividing the country. So again, it's noted, it said by lot in Shiloh before the Lord. So that's mentioned over and over. We don't know exactly how they did this, but the point is that it was done in the presence of God and directed by God. That's why it's mentioned over and over. And so they finally have the land allotted. And notice with Joshua, as he asked for this place, this didn't happen until everyone else had their land. You know, he didn't do what so many leaders in the world do, is as soon as they have an opportunity to take the best for themselves, they do so. And look after themselves first and foremost. He waited to be last. And then he said, hey, can I have this city and or this place? And it's not in a prime place. It's not in an easy place. And so it says he went and built a city. What a great example. As many have struggled in the nation to follow through in obeying the Lord, he has been, and as we're in chapter 19, continues to be a consistent example of here's how you follow the Lord. And I think it's fair to look at what's going on here within the nation of Israel and the tribes and go, a lot of the people that were dragging their feet would have been in their prime. You know, those unwilling to battle anymore would have been in their prime. And they're neglecting. And then, but here's Joshua. I mean, he might have been pushing 100. He's like, give me the mountainous territory. Kind of like Caleb. And you see, these guys were men of faith. Like, wow. It didn't matter if they were, you know, if it was back when they were 40 or so, 50, or, you know, wait for 40 more years. Just itching to get in there and live in what God had promised. So I think that's one of the things that comes through strong, so powerfully, is that the desire was there to claim the inheritance that was promised them and an unwillingness to settle for less. And I pray that we have that kind of desire, and God will honor it. It may take longer than we might hope at times, but God is faithful, and these guys finish strong. That's what I like. Not everyone who starts strong finishes strong. That's something to be aware of. Not everyone who at least looks like they're starting strong finishes strong. Faith is not a launch in faith and then give it up and hope to have enough momentum. Faith is a daily thing. It's faith, trust in God, belief. I'm not saying we have moments of doubt, we lose our salvation. I'm not saying that. But the encouragement, be people of faith day by day. Be faithful. All right. So we've hit this lots, I know. It's the book of Joshua, so there's some pretty consistent themes, like God has made you promises, you need to claim them, and there's going to be battles, and it's going to be hard. And this doesn't mean the Christian life is meant to be crisis after crisis after crisis after storm after, like, oh, give me a break, when is this ever going to stop? No, it's not. It's not meant to be that at all. At the same time, we are to understand that there will be battles or challenges or really difficult things, and that's okay. In fact, it's good, because when we walk through them with the Lord, we grow, our faith grows. And this is part of the treasures in heaven, is walking the life of faith. As Paul say, whatever is not of faith is sin. That's quite something. And the Lord wants to encourage us to keep living by faith, trusting him, obeying him, and experiencing the richness of his inheritance, which is more about spiritual things than it is about collecting stuff here on earth. So, when it comes to the challenge, and I think of, okay, Joshua to these tribes, why do you neglect to commit to live in the land? And I think they were going, because it's going to hurt. That's why. It's not difficult. There's a giant over there. I would like to just move to non-giant territory. And if they come back, we'll just move over there. Avoid the suffering. Well, the thing is, Jesus, our Lord, he's willing to suffer for the benefit of others, us specifically. 1 Peter 4:19, guys, we've been memorizing this in our study. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Yeah, this is a good verse to know. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God. It's important. If we're going to suffer, let's suffer according to the will of God, not outside the will of God, because it is certainly possible to suffer outside the will of God. We don't want to be there, nor do we need to be there. But there will be some suffering in, like, within the will of God. There will be some hardship. And that is not only fine, it's good, if it's according to God's will. And when we're in that place, we are to commit ourselves to him in doing good, which is in obeying him, as to a faithful creator, knowing that he is faithful. He will not abandon us. One last verse to end with, and this was mentioned on Friday. Braden mentioned these verses. Matthew 11:28-29. And it's a fact that there will be challenge in the Christian life. And it's actually impossible. Much of what we are asked to do or how to live, it is impossible. We need the Lord's strength, help. So, 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There is an invitation. And we often reference these verses to the, you know, in the sense of, hey, if you have not put your faith in Jesus, come to him. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Learn from him. This very much applies to all of us. It's very easy to forget to walk in step with the Lord. And this is, I believe, part of the reason we have trials is I don't think I'm the only one that has this natural tendency when things are going absolutely amazing to just sort of forget God sometimes and be like, yeah, oh, this is great. I can coast now. And it does irritate me that trials really bring my attention around to God. It irritates me in the sense of you know, I prefer not to have them. But the Lord uses them. And so often we're just much more willing to press into God when we're beyond ourselves or when we actually realize that we are. I think we are all the time. But so God is, we've seen it, book of Joshua, he does not mind sending us into battle. Challenges. Do this, and it's not going to be easy. That God is okay with that, and it is good. And then part of that is, and now you must have faith in me. And I will get the glory. Because everyone around you knows you cannot do this on your own. But when you do with my help, when you're yoked up, when we are yoked with Jesus, you're like, wow, look at the change in that person. Look at what the Lord has done. And the nations around Israel and Canaan, they knew, we've seen it, your God is mighty. They feared God. They didn't necessarily submit to him, but they realized it was more than the Israelites they were fighting. And so, for us to have faith. Faith, not fear. Action, not neglect. And neglect or complacency, kind of hoping for the easy road. Jesus said, narrow road. We like to look for the wide, easy road that we can coast on. That's not the one to take. Again, come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. That's the best kind of rest. I'll finish with this, is the rest that comes in a storm. Or at least I've certainly experienced that in the actual physical sense, being at sea or, you know, in the elements, and it's a storm. And if you can find this safe harbor somewhere in the midst of a severe storm, that is the most awesome kind of peace. Because the storm is there, but yet there's rest. And this is what I believe the Lord offers us. You can be in the midst of the toughest, the greatest storm, but yoke with me and learn from me, and I will give you rest. And so I pray that we can be, we'll keep growing to be those people. Just and have that, like Caleb, just, Lord, you promised me this. I can't wait to experience it. And then when the opportunity's there, just dive in. And God is faithful. When we dive in, it's not like he's going to be having a nap. He will be there. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. And you have promises for each of us, Lord. Your word is full of promises, commands, promises. You know, many of them are, you know, there's things that are very broad and in the sense that they are there for each and every one of us. Salvation. Lord, we understand that you have certain assignments for each and every one of us too, or certain specific lots, if you will. And Lord, I pray that we would know what it is that you desire of us. Know what it is that you desire us to walk in and live in. I pray, Lord, that we would not give way to fear or complacency, but that we would search to know what is your desire for us or your commands to us, and that we would have a strong desire to obey you and live where you would have us and live in victory. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to have courage. As you told Joshua, be strong and courageous. Lord, help us to be strong and courageous as we seek to follow you. And Lord, I want to lift up anyone in our midst, in our church family, that is in one of those severe storms or just real trials in life, and pray, Lord, that you would sustain them and that they would know that you are with them, and Lord, that they would really be able to find rest in you, even while at times circumstances may be, feel like they're out of control. And Lord, help us to never really get bogged down in that place of unbelief, but have faith. Lord, show us where we can take the steps of faith. We thank you for the rich inheritance that we have, and help us to, as Paul put in Ephesians, walk worthy of that. And we need your help to do so. So we thank you, we praise you in Jesus' name.